When you don't go to Geico.com, car insurance can be hard. Like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on Geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for joining us on Love That Voiceover, where we explore the people and projects behind the microphone.
This is Jim Meskimen as Morgan Freeman saying, keep listening to Love That Voiceover. You'll be glad you did.
Brought to you by voiceover artist Rebecca Michaels Haw, also known as Love That Rebecca. All right, so here we are. We're back. This is Rebecca, and I'm here with Hugh Edwards. And Hugh was just expressing some of the things he finds that are unique and what he needs when he's looking for voices, really. We started talking about show reels, which are demo reels, and I wanted him to elaborate a bit more about what he sees between the differences between American and British talent from his perspective as a voice caster, a voice director. So, and anything you want to talk about in this arena.
Yeah,
I'll
sure.
Let you guide me.
Okay. Well, in the break, we were just talking about where the idea for these training courses came from. Now, as I've mentioned, I mean, I've done 140 plus games. I think we're on 147, something like that. And one thing that we noticed relatively early on is that we were using the same people again and again. Now, that's obviously because they're good voice actors, you know,
right.
No doubt. But one of the main reasons is because a lot of people aren't trained in how to do gaming voiceover. And I think there's a sort of tendency to believe that if you've done commercial VO and you've done, you know, maybe some radio plays and you've done a bit of TV work or whatever, then you are an actor and you know how to act. Whereas, for those who've actually done gaming, you'll very quickly sort of put your hand up and say, no, it's a little bit different doing gaming.
Right.
It's a different thing in its own right, and it does need its own individual training for it. So we started noticing that we were getting the same people in, and not only was I using the same people, but that my competitors were also using those same people as well.
Right.
So it's such a small, cliquey market. So I started doing some research into it with a guy called Peter Dixon. And Peter's someone I've worked with for a long time. And he's, for your American audience members, they might not know who they are.
Okay.
He's a household name in the UK, but he's the voice of a show in the UK called The X Factor.
Oh, okay.
Which I think is now in the States, but I think it's got a different voice. But Peter's voice is everywhere. I mean, he's without doubt the biggest voiceover artist in the UK. And we were having a look at this because I've used Peter on 10, 15 games. He's just an excellent character actor. But he knows, and rather like Adam Sock, he knows how to do all of the different specific things like NSV and non-scripted vocals. And all, there's a plethora of terms which happen within gaming but nowhere else. So what was happening was I was actually training voice actors how to do aspects of their job on the job in front of people like Sega and Electronic Arts and stuff.
Oh, that's not what you want to have to happen, really.
Exactly. And the thing is, it's not the voice talent's fault in a lot of ways, because even now, of the 30 or 40 drama schools that I know of in the UK, only two of them are doing gaming voice production within their courses. So gaming is still a very new and very young aspect to the voiceover and acting industry if you compare it to something like film and TV.
And I will tell you that from my perspective, and I'm only one person, and I haven't done a lot of games myself as a voice actor, but I have taken some training. And what I've noticed is when people think about game voices in America, they think of it as a character role. So they think of it more along the lines of an animated character.
Yeah.
And would you say that's pretty close? Yeah.
It depends on the game entirely. If you look at something like Disney Universe, I mean, that's kid stuff, and it's very much like sort of SpongeBob type over the top OTT caricatures, you know.
Right.
If you look at something like Call of Duty,
not at all, right?
No, they're filmic, and they're voiced in the same kind of way as films are.
Dramatic.
It's very dramatic. However, I mean, there are so many differences. We're never going to be able to cover them all. But,
no.
But for example, the difference, I mean, for actors out there who do theatre as well as televisual or filmic media, if you stand on stage, you know you have to really express yourself in an almost over-the-top manner to look normal on stage and to get your voice across.
Right.
It's a much bigger projection, a much bigger performance compared to close-ups in film, for example, which is much more intricate and much more subtle. Gaming is a third one again. And even if you're used to doing both and radio plays, you still have to know the techniques involved and why things are done in a certain way.
And this is more about, can I just clarify something real quick? Would I be correct in saying it's more about how to work the mic and how to come across physically in a way through your audio, using your instrument in that way?
To a certain extent, yes. But also the different techniques involved, working with things like alt takes or repetitive alt takes or single lines or multiple lines over music effects. And because fundamentally, a film starts at point A and ends at point B. It's linear and it can only go one way. If you look at something like Grand Theft Auto, it's completely non-linear because you have a map and you can go anywhere at any time and interact in any way. So the stories build in very different ways. So your approach to the character building has to also change. You can't just
right. Yes. We talked to Dave Fenoy, who's very well known as a voice actor, and he's getting a lot of notice because of a game that he's in called The Walking Dead. And and he plays one of the main characters, and he told us a story of how he was doing, you know, one line, but in so many different ways, because it depended on what had happened, what had just happened, and the director was directing him so that he had all the alternatives that could happen for the interactivity of the game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's a good case in point. Another good case in point is a game you might have heard of called Fable. And okay, well, there's Fable and Fable 2, and I mean, up until a couple of years ago, they were. Probably the biggest games for audio that there were, but they've been superseded now. But Fable was an interesting game because with that one, you could choose the motivation of your character. So you could choose for that character to be good or bad.
Oh, wow.
And the entire game evolved based on how you acted. So if you went up to certain people and you were bad to them, or you tried to manipulate them or, you know, get things from them in an underhand way.
Yeah.
Start to change how they actually approach you as well, and that news would spread to their local community. So you could go all the way through these, and the amount of variations by the time you get to the end are just huge.
Oh wow! So that's really putting a lot in your lap as a voice director.
Yeah.
Wow.
But that's part of the skill. But I guess what I'm here to talk about, I'm here to sort of talk to the actors out there, really, or the potential actors, because how you approach that is different. I mean, you should be able to hear straight away that it's not just as easy as reading a script, which has got all linear lines, and you know, therefore, how to build your characters, you know.
Right.
It's a bit different than that. I mean, alongside other technical aspects, which are just fundamentally different. Non-scripted vocals is a good example. These are sort of effort sounds, if you like, things like grunts and groans, yeah, all of that kind of stuff. With Harry Potter, we were doing, for each of the 60 characters, we were doing maybe 40 lines of NSV. And within each line of NSV, we were having sort of up to 30 variations.
Wow!
Yeah, so if you do the math, that actually works out as around about 5 hours worth of voice recording, having not said a line.
Just making noises, responding or moving or...
Exactly, yeah. But all of those things, when they're split up and chopped into files and then they're picked at random based on certain criteria, all of those things make the character completely lifelike and they bring it to life. And if you don't have those, it just looks awful.
We'll take a real quick break and be right back. Hello, this is Ida, and Ida loves Rebecca, like you probably do, loving that Rebecca want to listen to the show via iTunes, make your life easier, hook it up through the iTunes store, look up Love That Voiceover, 3 words, Love That Voiceover, it's not so hard, is it? And then download it and put it on all your devices, so when you're portable, so is Love That Voiceover. Oh, internet, it's so wonderful. All right, let's jump back in. Tell us the kind of voice actor attributes that, if you step back and think about all the actors that have come through and that you like to work with, what are their attributes?
Okay, well, I mean, number one, I suppose the obvious one is fame. Now, the thing about fame is, if you look at a game like Birds of Steel, do you know who the actor Stephen Fry is?
Yes.
You're right. Well, he should be big enough in the States as well, I guess.
Yes.
It's a marketing exercise. So the fact that he's involved with it will sell more games, so he's worth the expense.
Right.
However, there was another 40 or 50 actors within that that were unknown actors. So, you know, even something like Call of Duty, where you've got an A-list of actors that will play the top rung, or Metal Gear Solid or something like that, you've still got lots of actors below it that are unknowns who are earning money from it.
Yeah, I've interviewed several.
Yeah, so that's one aspect of it that you should say first and foremost is, don't think that you're not famous, therefore you're not going to get any work, because it's not true. I think someone who's willing to put in the time to do the training and the practice, it's very important. Because from my point of view, you can spot people who are really rehearsed, not with the specific script that I've got, but with creating characters. I mean, for example, I will invariably do, you know, 100 lines with one particular actor, and I've booked them for an hour. But that'll be done in maybe 50 minutes, and I'll say, do you know what, we've also got this other character, and he's got 5 lines. Can we just have a go at that as well? And it needs to be a completely different character. So that actor needs to have like a little box of characters in his head that he can just go to and grab and say, okay, well, look, I can do New York, I can do Boston, I can do Philadelphia, you know, I can do Miami, wherever.
Right.
And we can take those and we can start manipulating them to get what we want, rather than someone who doesn't have a practiced set of base characters that they can then just draw on in an instant, you know?
Right, right. We call that having them in your toolbox, you know, selection.
Yeah, it's the same concept, yeah. I mean, I do that every other session at least.
Got it.
Then I need somebody who is a professional. And what I mean by that is, as I'm sure you probably know, the key to a good voiceover actor is 70% delivery, but it's also 30% technique and professionality.
Yes.
So being able to project properly and being able to shout properly without hurting your voice and being able to do things like have yourself properly hydrated so that you're not too clicky with your
mouth
noises, and having a clean in point so that you breathe, open your mouth, give it a pause, and then deliver the line so it's easy to edit. And all
right.
of these things
make your life easier.
Well, yeah, because I mean, our team has to edit these.
Exactly.
In fact, there was a game we did called Fallout 3. And with that particular game, we were doing just French. And we had one character being voiced by a French woman, and she did 2,000 or so lines, and she was so badly hydrated, and her mouth was so clicky that we ended up ditching everything she had done and hiring a new actor for her.
Oh, what a bummer.
Yeah, I mean, that's an extremity of what can happen. But that actress, I will never hire her again. And it's just, you know, there are so many people who want to work in gaming. You've got to get it right on day one.
Right.
And that's about being a professional. And it's about practice and rehearsal and being properly trained. So that's where we came up with the idea of this training course. So Peter and I started doing these training courses in a classroom environment, actually in a studio environment, I should say, in London. And we started training people in batches of 10 at a time. It's been fantastically successful up to one point where a lot of people from Europe and the States have started hearing about it. And, you know, yourself included. And we don't have the wherewithal and the means and the time, because we're you know, professionally working game voice directors and stuff like that, and
right.
actors, to actually just go and spend 2 weeks in the States teaching this to people. So what we've done is we've created an e-learning training environment of the same thing, which is where the VoiceOver for Gaming course comes from and gravyforthebrain.com comes from, is to allow people in, you know, globally to be able to have access to the same training that they didn't get at drama school.
Fantastic.
Really to try and grow the talent pool that's being used within gaming.
Thanks for listening, you sexy, beautiful, adorable person. Lots of love to you. Until next time, take care.
Want a faster and better way to enjoy your entertainment at home and on the go? Take the Xfinity X1 Challenge and see how your service stacks up at Xfinity.com/challenge. Or for a great offer, call 1-800-XFINITY or click today. Restrictions apply.